Greet all of you affectionately. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you're not like me. I just woke up. I was in my bed. And where am I? Where am I? Oh, mountains, what happened? Where was I last? How do I come here? Hare Krishna. Yeah. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Bhaskatyane Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Bol Hare Bol Hare Bol Rama Hare Rama 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 As we continue to chant, I request you to bring your mind, your conscious perception to each single syllable of the Maha Mantra. The scriptures give an example that the mind is like the trunk of the elephant. When the elephant walks over a fruit market, the trunk goes left to grab an orange. It goes right to grab a banana. It goes left and right and grabs things and drops things. So in the same way as the trunk of the elephant, the mind holds on to thoughts, drops the thoughts, takes other thoughts. So when we chant mantra, we take our trunk-like mind and hold on to the mantra. Don't drop it. Just keep on holding it and see what happens. So please, hold on and sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare
Hare. One more time, all of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada,
Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Shyama Sunda, Radha Shyama Sunda, Radha Shyama Sunda Sri Radhe. Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bol
Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, in my life, I have always asked the question, where can I find Krishna or God? I think I told many of you what my mother once shared with me when I was very, very small. I would climb always the highest trees, and sometimes I would know how to get up but not how to go down. And there were times where the fire brigade had to get me like a little cat who was screaming for help high up in the trees. And those devotees who have seen me taking a bath in the Ganga or the Yamuna, they have seen on my back there's a white spot. When they asked, what is this white spot? I said, that's where I fell down from a very high tree as a child. And I landed on that spot. And for some time, it seemed to be an eternity, I couldn't breathe. The fall had, and the hit had made a nerve blockade, and I could not breathe. And only by the mercy of God, it came back. I could breathe. And when my mother would ask me, why do you have to climb trees, especially trees which you don't know how to get down from? I would whisper, Mother, I want to be as close as possible to God. I wanted to be as close as possible to God. This desire didn't leave me when I joined our movement, and I have tried to keep this desire alive. Especially when I was translating the 15th chapter of the Gita for the German edition of the Bhagavad Gita, I saw one sentence of Prabhupada. He said, one should be enthusiastic for this information that one can go back to Godhead. One should be enthusiastic that one can go to the kingdom of God. This was very, very far back when we had our temple in Hamburg. And I remember I read this when everything was covered with snow. I looked out through the window and saw the grip of the winter over our temple garden. Everything was so white as if it was covered by the Ja, but your bites is, how do you say, white cloth? And I read at that time, there's a kingdom of God, and one should be enthusiastic to go there. And I felt, wow, that is what I would like to do in this movement for Krishna consciousness. I would like to increase my enthusiasm to go in this direction. Then many years passed, and I met Bhuijan Prabhu from the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. He was the dean in our Krishna Balaram temple, and he and me developed a very bold aspiration. We thought, what can we offer to our devotees so that they can maintain and perhaps increase this enthusiasm, this taste, this nirbanda. Nirbanda means a fierce determination that they want to go to the divine, the kingdom of God. And we thought, well, let's develop a retreat that we do right at the site of a sacred mountain, Giriraj Govardhan, and let us simply talk about the Bhagavatam and chant and so on, and let the devotees be there on retreat. And yes, this was very, we did it, and we, many years passed, and the more the years passed, the more we were becoming dissatisfied. Somehow we felt we hadn't found the formula to bring light on the path of our retreat goers. And that remained for quite some time. This dissatisfaction grew and grew and grew until we developed a new feature which Bhuijan Prabhu rightly named Alone with Krishna. What this means is we crossed the road, we enter the forest of Vrindavan, we cross the path where the parikramis, those who are doing circumambulation of Giriraj, and then when we cross it, we are silent. We don't say one word. It's not allowed. The mobile telephones are put on silent. That was very difficult to put to action. And then we gave only one instruction. Sit down in the forest of Vrindavan under a tree, and the rest, what you do, is up to you. But you cannot come out of the forest for 1.5 hours. We give you a tip. And we gave them, we gave our people a little, you know, how is it called? Folder. There were verses in the folder, songs in the folder. There were an arctic light and a match so that they can offer a flame. And we said, if you don't know what to do, there are also prompts, pieces of paper in the folder. And then when they opened it, they found instructions like, look around and see what you have overlooked. One time someone screamed, and we had our men going there, but what is up? Well, I saw a snake just next to me. I hadn't seen the snake. We said, oh, good, 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 good. Here are cobras, so you... And then we, from that moment on, we sent our people with sticks into the forest. They were beating the ground so that all the snakes would go away and no one would be bitten or so. And we decided to keep this secret, this aspect, but this is what happened. And I remember, although I had come every year for a whole month to Vrindavan to just be alone with Krishna, chant the holy name, read about Krishna, the first time when I sat like this, okay, what do I do now? And I remembered the heading of this. This is time alone with Krishna. Okay, I'm now here with Krishna. So what do I do when I'm with Krishna? And from this, it was like being thrown into the deep end. Yes, all our participants started to spend the time alone with Krishna. Some prayed to Krishna, some chanted the holy name, knowing that Krishna would listen to them. Some did an artik, some started to write a letter to Krishna. And a very, very, very new habit developed in our retreatants. They really spent the time alone with Krishna without getting bored. I was thinking about this when I came yesterday out of the hall. There was a little baby, perhaps as small as a mouse, so small. It was sitting on the steps. And she had a mobile telephone and was scrolling. And I said, sorry. She gave me that look, why do you disturb? I'm doing very important scrolling activities. I looked what she was scrolling, and it was, I mean, Barbie pop puppets and such things. And I said, interesting, this is what the child learns. She already can do more, handle more the internet than you can do. I can do something on the phone. I can't phone on my own as of yet. I don't know how to find the numbers, but when the phone call is over, I already know when the red button comes, I must now press the red button, and then I can talk to other people around me. I have not learned to scroll, but I have learned something else, which I want to teach. I want you to learn how to meditate about Krishna, how to think of Krishna, how to not forget Krishna, how to find Vrindavan in your heart through meditations. I know you. It is even easier than what the child, the little baby girl who was scrolling was doing, but it has to be learned, just like the child had to learn this habit of you know what is scrolling? Endless, it doesn't end. So I feel we as human beings have been equipped with all the skills, all the inner skills to be together with Krishna and to have the best time of our life. But I do know this has to be learned. There is a verse which I would like to chant with you. There are 5 points which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, 5 buttons, so to say. Telephones have buttons, if I know, or functions. Oh, not functions, 5 things you can learn to meditate about. And as you do this, you will find how you move in your mind to the beautiful land in which Krishna becomes revealed. So let us sing this verse together. It is the key verse. Arajyo Bhagavan Braje Shatanayas Tatama Brindavanam. All together, please, and then we go through the whole thing together. Arajyo Bhagavan Braje Shatanayas Tatama Brindavanam Ram Yaka Chidupasana Rajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. And a little high now. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumatoma Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradarona Param. The first line together. Arajyo Bhagavan Brajeshatanayas Tatama Brinda. Actually, we're so nice. Ram Yakachidupasana Brajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramalam Amalam Prema Pumato Maham Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Pratadarona Param. It is the conclusive opinion of Lord Chaitanya that the most worshipable form of the Lord is that of Sri Krishna, the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. The most worshipable form of the Lord is that of Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Vrindavan Dham is the topmost worshipable abode, the highest and most pleasing type of worship of Krishna is done by the Braj Gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything. And Krishna Prema is the 5th and the highest goal of life. Krishna, Krishna. This morning, our Keshava Maharaj told us about the seat of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Where was it? In which forest of Kamyavan? Yes, thank you. Many, many years ago, when the world was young and most of you not born, there was a lake before this, Bhajan Kutir, with lotus flowers. I was once seeing this, and Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he had meditated there, and he had asked, he has written a book, Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and there he asked a question. We will go directly to the English. Where do all people automatically and effortlessly obtain pure ecstatic love for Krishna? You know, automatically and effortlessly, these are things that happen to you, not things that you make happen. No? Where do all people automatically and effortlessly obtain pure ecstatic love for Krishna? Then he asked the second question. Where does the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests his supremely wonderful pastime form? That means Krishna's form is manifest. Zhups, is he there? And then he asked another question. Where is the empire of bliss? This means a huge amount of bliss of devotional service to Krishna's lotus feet manifest. And he answers this question by saying, oh brother and sister, listen, I will tell you a secret. All this is present here in Vrindavan. It is said that yes, as you are going to Vrindavan and sitting there in this magical land, then when you, I think you need to know a little bit the child, like our mouse baby or baby mouse, you know. She needed to have some experience how to switch on the thing and switch it off or scroll and so on. But there is a place in this world where you can effortlessly obtain pure ecstatic love for Krishna, where Krishna manifests, and where you become actually genuinely blissful. So in the first part of our little seminar here, I'm a little bewildered. There's so many things I want to say. You can contact this land of Vrindavan in a way that Prabhupada once he hinted this to us. I've said this many times, but we had stayed in Vrindavan for a whole month, and Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan of the Krishna Balaram temple, and he addressed us on the very same morning where we needed to leave Vrindavan. Now for me, my first stay in Vrindavan was catastrophic. I had all the time thought of German bread and butter, which was not available at that time. It was a very simple place. Before the Vaishyas of ISKCON discovered to make a bread and butter shop, it was not possible to find these things. And I had the food was thank you so much, was Vrindavan Vinodini. thank you. This was Krishna's arrangement that I would see you and not look everywhere else except for you, Hare Krishna. So we were, I was homesick for Vrindavan. I was thinking, if I could just find a switch where when I switch it on, the light comes on and I can find the toilet in the night. But these Vrindavan switches, they don't deliver the light. Power cut. I was really very well. But I remember when we sat and we wanted to leave Vrindavan, I was sad. So Prabhupada said, so how do you like Vrindavan? Everyone was there. It was just so sad that they had to leave. And, you know, there was a collective moan. And Prabhupada said, you have to know one thing. Vrindavan is not a dot on the map. It's not a point in Uttar Pradesh. It is a state of consciousness. And in another lecture, he explained what he meant with this. Vrindavan can be found in your consciousness. It can be found in the heart, where you can make the Vrindavan experience. And he said, you have to learn to discover that Vrindavan in the heart. So, how do you find something what is in the heart? I mean, by heart surgery, or what should I do? Well, it is the process of mentally being in Vrindavan, trying to bring in your mind, or holding in your mind the Vrindavan land. Just like when you chant, you know when you can chant also in such a way that your mind holds the Maha Mantra, a little bit like that elephant who stops stealing fruits as soon as you put a stick before him, in his trunk. You know, so if you carry in your mind, in the trunk of your mind, Vrindavan, yes, you can discover Vrindavan in your mind. I think this will become more and more necessary, this little scrolling skill for us baby mouses in spiritual life, as the external Vrindavan, which was never the Vrindavan which the scriptures talk about, becomes more and more intolerable, like more and more exhaustion, more and more the building mafia who builds everywhere on every square centimeter something for a house and so on. You will have to learn to discover Vrindavan in your heart. Well, Krishna, in talks about this Vrindavan, he says, O forest of Vrindavan, this is in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Shataka 11, when the beloved mistress of my life playfully hit nearby, one of your vines pointed her out by waving one of its budding hands. So it says, when the beloved mistress of my life, who could that be? Krishna's beloved mistress of his life? Radharani? Did you say Radharani? Uh-huh. So when the beloved mistress of my life, Radharani, playfully was hiding, one of your vines, you pointed her out by waving one of its budding hands. I now owe a very heavy debt to that vine. A little bit like this. Radharani was hiding somewhere. One of the vines were going like, here. And Krishna looked, ah, there is Radharani. So now Krishna says, I owe a heavy debt. Thank you. You should do this on your own, by the way. We were talking about this. When I say this, you must go whoop, and you didn't do. This is an ordinary flower from the horticulture in Zurich. It has a little experience in spiritual things, but Vrindavan's forest is conscious and was hiding or pointing out Krishna. Krishna says, now I owe a very heavy, heavy debt to that vine. Then he said, he remembers one thing. There was a time, remembers Krishna, where I was hiding amongst tamal trees. They're blackish. At that time, Radharani, not seeing me, said, the rascal has not come. We made an appointment here, and this rascal Krishna has not come. She then approached me. Krishna is also black, no? Looks like a tree who was standing and look at her making the face of a tree. And she approached me and prayed to me, saying, oh, handsome tamal tree, beautiful tamal tree, you are very dear to me. Then she earnestly embraced me. Oh, forest of Vrindavan, by arranging this pastime, I owe a heavy debt to you. Then Krishna remembers something else about this enchanting forest. Oh, Sri Vrindavan, one day my beloved Radharani saw a beautiful flower on the top of one of your branches. And she said to the tree, O faultless tree, please bend down and make me happy. At that time I laughed, and I predicted that this tall tree will never bow down and give her flower to Radha. But then, to the great pleasure of my beloved and my surprise, the tree did exactly as she had asked. For this reason, I owe a heavy debt to you, O forest of Vrindavan. O forest of Vrindavan, says Krishna, you are very fortunate and you are very glorious. When Sri Radha is eager to see your great beauty and walks within you, you cover each pathway with showers of flowers, and you glorify her with many prayers that are spoken through the mouths of your parrots, your cuckoos, and your other birds. These are found in the second chapter, the Shataka, of this compilation of Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which Krishna, where Prabodhananda Saraswati sees in his meditation while sitting on the pond of lotus flowers, the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which are manifest to his eyes in that pastime forest, no? And where does the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifest his supreme pastime form? So, the first opinion of Mahaprabhu, or first point of Mahaprabhu, is that the Krishna whom his followers worship was not born in Mathura. He appeared in Mathura in the prison cell in his four-armed form, fully dressed with a yellow dhoti that flickered with light like electric flash, and so on. He manifested in a four-armed form there. There was no umbilical cord cutting, but he was, and he said to Devaki, "Don't cry, don't cry. I have come to deliver the pious and to put and to destroy the demons. Don't cry, don't cry." But he was born to Yashoda in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and he cried and cried and cried and cried, and this beautiful umbilical cord was at that time cut. So he appeared, he manifested like a light in the darkness. Where? In Mathura. And he was born in a small form, crying, 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 crying to Yashoda. So Yashoda, he said to his first mother, "Don't cry." And in Vrindavan, Yashoda had to say, "You're crying so much. Stop crying. No need. Mother is here. Mother is here." So this is the Vrindavan form of Krishna, who is the goal of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord who walks through the forest of Vrindavan with his beloved Radha, the Lord of love, who is inviting us all for a loving relationship. This Lord of Vrindavan has four very special features, which are all described in a verse which I want to use as my first verse for meditation for you. What are the four qualities of Krishna that are only that of Krishna, of no other form of God? No? Rupa Madhurya, someone said, his excellent beauty which is beyond all comparison. Yes, Krishna's beauty is so amazing that the moment he would appear or be there, everything stopped in Vrindavan, and everyone, including the plants, would look at Krishna and cry tears of ecstasy, even the plants. What else is special with Krishna? Venu Madhuri, that means he attracts all living entities by playing his flute. What else? Leela Madhuri, he is a performer of wonderful pastimes. And we need one more. Prema Madhuri, he is surrounded by loving devotees. So all these four qualities you find in one very beautiful verse, which is also the guiding verse that brings you into understanding Krishna in the land of Vrindavan. Would you like to know this verse? Would you meditate about this verse? What if the meditation is new for you? No problem? No problem. Good. Fine. So here is our verse. Mahapidam natavaravapu kana yoganika. The first time I heard this verse was in Rudra Prayag. I still remember it. It is, I've described it in a German book, which is called, in English, I've never published it, The Way of the Great Departure. I remember we had driven up the Himalayas, and we had taken our bath in the Ganga at Rudraprayag. So I went down to the Ganga, and I was an extremely good swimmer when I was young. So there was a little metal thing, metal bars. You should not cross the metal bars. The Ganga was coming through there. But I thought, let me swim freely in the Ganga. And I went over the metal bar like a tiger who crawls over his cage. And I tried to swim in the Ganga, but the Ganga was so forceful, it took me. And by Krishna's mercy, the Ganga put me, was hurling me against this metal bar, but from outside, so that I almost broke my leg and I was bleeding. But I could grab the metal thing and go back into the protective environment. And when I came out, there was a Brahmana sitting on the top of the rock, and he was chanting this verse. And I thought, well, maybe I should learn this verse. And here it is. Please repeat it with me. I will chant one line alone, and then we will chant this same line together and do all the other words. Bahapidam natavara vapu kanayokanikaram. Bahapidam natavara vapu kanayokanikaram. Vibradvasa. Again, everyone, all together. Vibradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijajantim shamalam. Rantran vinor adarasudaya purayando pavrinda vrindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishadhitakin. He's wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. He has blue Kanikara flowers on his ears. There's a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Last year we also had this verse, and one devotee found a beautiful image of that Krishna. He didn't find it. He himself meditated it, and it jumped out of his mobile telephone by somehow. He did. His mind is so much with the phone that the phone does what he thinks. Yes. So I thought we should again try to meditate. I will guide you into a little meditation while we have Krishna. I would like you to put your notes down at this moment. Oh yeah. Sit comfortably. Do we need some energy? Yes, this is not in Prabodhananda Saraswati. Go like this, please. Breathe in and out. Continue. When you breathe out, the pranic energy gets distributed and you become wide awake, as if you have drunken. What do people drink? 2 buckets of coffee. Whenever the air leaves you, take all this tiredness out of your body. Yes. My God, I'm getting tired from your tiredness. We will go now faster. 5 more. 3, 4, 5. Bus. No laughter. Sit comfortably and allow your breath to become slow and natural. Every time you breathe out, let go of the concerns of the day. This talk you had was, you should have said this one more point. Let it go. Oh, your room is not so comfortable. Let it go. Oh, you have not even found time to walk in the nature. Let it go. With each exhalation, just let everything go. And with each inhalation, become more present. Now, in your mind's eye, imagine you are before an endless ocean of cooling moonlight. This light is not of this world. It is peaceful. This light is gentle and filled with limitless bliss. Stay in this moonlight for a few moments. Now within this peaceful, gentle, mellow light, perceive another light, a loving presence. And from that divine radiance, that second radiance, another world gently begins to reveal itself. It's a world untouched by time. The eternal land of Vrindavan. In your mind's eye, see Vrindavan the way Prabodhananda Saraswati saw. Vrindavan is filled with soft forest paths. Every tree there is conscious. Every flower has a fragrance. The flower wants to serve Radha and Krishna with that fragrance. And the gentle breeze carries a sweetness beyond anything you have ever known. The birds sing not merely melodious, but they sing songs of devotion. Yes, and there is a river, Yamuna, flows quietly, reflecting the beauty of the spiritual sky. Everything here is alive. Everything remembers Krishna. Pause for a few moments and simply allow yourself to be present. in this beautiful forest with flower-bearing trees. There's a nice bird and the gentle breeze that carries a sweetness beyond anything you have ever known. As you slowly calm down and learn to sit in silence, you sense that this Vrindavan is preparing to reveal its greatest treasure to you. And there he is. You have seen photos, you have seen deities. He wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. There's a blue Karnikara flower on his ears. A yellow garment as brilliant as gold. And the Vaijajanti garland and Gunja berries. You have heard there are many devotees who prepare these Vaijajanti garlands, mostly gopis and their assistants as their seva. You see the Lord, but then he enters the forest of Braj. Maybe he goes to Radhakund or to Govardhan. And as he enters, he starts to dance in a way that singles him out as the best of dancers. His eyes begins to dance, his eyebrows dance, the garland dances, the dhoti moves, his feet are moving, and he beautifies the dust-covered ground with the marks of his footprints. There's the lotus. There's an elephant goat. A flesh. No animal, no human being or bird ever disturbs these signs in the dust of Vrindavan, which are the ornaments of Braj. Then he takes his flute to his mouth. And again he fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. Why is there so much nectar? Well, when Krishna plays upon his flute, he thinks of all of his devotees. He intends to address them. He has different ragas, different notes, different pauses for all the devotees. And all around him, he's not alone. There are cowherd boys who sing his glories. Achyuta Keshava Krishna Damodara Singh. Achyuta Keshava Krishna Damodara Achyuta Keshava Krishna Damodara All Achyuta Keshava Krishna Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Everyone Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damo Dada Madhaveti Govinda Damo Dada Madhaveti Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Govinda Damodara Madhaveti
You can now, if you have not yet opened your mouth, your eyes. In Braj, Krishna has few distinct items that he only entertains in Vrindavan. And we have heard about these in this verse. His flute is there. In Dwaraka, he puts his flute under his cushion. He says, no one appreciates my flute playing here. I don't play my flute here. But in Vrindavan, oh, always you hear the flute. He has a peacock feather ornament. He has these beautiful gunja berries, which he prefers to the diamonds and smaragds who come from outside Vrindavan. And he always goes barefoot, no shoes. Rupa Goswami tells us how we can think of his flute play. When Krishna plays his flute, he calls his devotees. But the sound of the flute spreads everywhere else. First, the sound of the flute will pierce the shell of the universe and it will go all the way up to the dance hall of Indra where this Gandhava Tumburu sings. But when this Tumburu, I wanted to say Dumburu, the dumb man, but when the Tumburu hears the sound of the flute, he becomes so amazed and confused that he has to stop his singing and dancing. So this is Krishna's flute sound goes higher. First to Indra's court, where he bewilders the dance and the singing. Then he goes to Jana and Tapaloka and enters into the ears of the great sages called Sananda. And the sound is so sweet that it breaks their meditation. As they listen to the flute sound, they don't want to meditate any longer. They want to experience love for Krishna. From there, the sound goes higher. What is over the Jana and Tapaloka? What comes then? Yes, the abode of Lord Brahma. Now, Brahma is engaged in chanting the Rig and Samavedas, but when he hears the flute sound, he's unable to continue reciting the Vedas. And then the flute sound goes higher, it attacks Shiva's heart, who's engaged in dancing, but all of a sudden his dance goes off beat and he exclaims, I'm haunted by the sound of this flute, I can't dance any longer, but the flute sound is better. And then the flute sound goes down. The idea here is it's all pervading. It goes to Sutala Loka, where there is Bali, and Bali becomes unsteady in his heart and thinks, why did I offer my heart to a dwarf? Who's the dwarf? Vamandev, you know, yes, why? I feel like a Krishna Bhakta now. And it goes even deeper, the sound of the flute, to where Ananta Shesha is and holds the universes like the planets on his head. Now snakes like music. And when Ananta Shesha hears the flute sound, he goes, which is a problem for the universe, you know. Srila Rupa Goswami concludes, may my mind become attached to that flute sound which comes from Krishna's flute. So as the devotee chants, Baha pitam natavara vapu kanayo kanikaram vibradvasha kanaka kapisham vayajajantim jalam radran vino arara surayo purayango pavinda vrinda So, Vrindavan is the land where Krishna manifests and where Sukadev Goswami, who speaks this verse, is talking and he's meditating there on Vrindavan. Suddenly he sees that Krishna dancing in the forest of Vrindavan. We are not so very expert, but there is a method in learning to meditate without being in the trance of Sukadev Goswami. That's very difficult. You just follow the verses and you let them appear in your mind. Jiva Goswami gives us an image of this method. It's called in the way the meditational language is passage meditation. You meditate about a passage from the scriptures, or you meditate about this verse. No, we say like this in our movement, let's meditate about this verse. The way you do it is you hear the verse and you allow your mind to follow each word and concept of the verse, almost like, here comes Jiva Goswami, like a calf that follows the mother cow, because she knows the calf If I drink, if I come close, I can drink the nectar from the udder of the cow. So the calf will go moo 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 after the cow and drink. No, so you can try this. Do this. He wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head. He has a blue Kanikara flower on his ears. It's not for making notes. You have to now try this, no? Like the calf runs after the cow. There's a yellow garment as brilliant as gold and the Vaidyajanti garland, no? Then you follow Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan. A devotee tries to remember Vrindavan, and for that it may be good to follow the advice of our Keshava Maharaj. He has gone on Braj Mandal Parikrama to make snapshots in his heart of nice Vrindavan scenes. You can also do this by looking at photos perhaps, or you might like to go with some devotees who know their way, like Dinabandhu, who brings you out of the honking town of Vrindavan to the banks of the Yamuna. And then you put these images in your heart. There's a very nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, for most for most people, the mind and the heart are one. But this is Radharani, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? Yes, so the devotee of Krishna, he knows he will put Vrindavan in his mind, and there it will be very easy for him to meditate on Krishna. Are you still with me? Good, good. Jiva Goswami wrote about this in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchetya 286, paragraph 2. In the opinions of the yogis, Bhagavan is to be meditated upon as situated on the lotus of the heart. No? They meditate about the lotus of the heart. Do you know they want to see? Whom do they want to see in the lotus of the heart? Paramatma, yes. But for the devotees, the principal meditation is on Sri Bhagavan, who is present in his own abode, because it is written in the tantras, Smaret Vrindavane Ramye. One should remember Sri Krishna in the enchanting land of Vrindavan. Consequently, internalized mental worship or Manasa Puja involves contemplation of Bhagavan specifically in his own abode. In this Anuchetya, he also describes other elements of the meditation of the yogis. They meditate on the light of the sun and the moon. Did you recognize this element in Prabodhananda Saraswati's a meditational guide? Because that light will blend out. It's those of you who have looked in the sun or the moon, they will see nothing else after some time. So the meditation on the light will help the yogi to dissolve all other images in the mind. But again, the Vrindavan devotees, or the devotees of Krishna who want to be Krishna conscious, they meditate about forest paths, trees which bend down with flowers, birds who sing there who are great saints, Yamuna and Govardhan, and so on. Yeah. Krishna, Krishna. We want to show you something. Imagine one evening you go to Radha Kund. It is evening time. Have you seen such photos of Radha Kund before? Yes, no. Good. So during, we were sitting there and all of a sudden we heard a sound and we tried to get the sound which we want to play for you. There was yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. This was a Gaudiya Vaishnava who was doing this method which I wanted to introduce today, reading verses and then meditating about them. It could be this devotee, but I don't think it is. And he was chanting, again, I want to request our sound man to hear his sound. No, just hear his sound.
Radha Paravichita Pallava Vallari Radha Paravichita Sanma Durasjanike Radha Yashomukharva Takaravelike Radha
This is a verse, of course, from Sri Sri Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, and it says, let my mind find pleasure in the play forest of Radha, where the sprouts and the vines are touched by Radha's hands, where the ground is sweetened by Radha's footprints, and where the birds madly sing Radha's glories. So, as we are carefully, like the baby, learning to use this amazing mind to remember Krishna, not forget him, we can do this, chant a verse, and then follow the verse, this line, with our mind. Let my mind find pleasure in the play forest of Radha, where the sprouts and vines are touched by Radha's hands, where the ground is sweetened by Radha's footprints, and where the birds madly sing Radharani's glories. So this is the land of Vrindavan, where Krishna is manifest. If you want to learn the mood of entering Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. No, this won't work. One cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akrura. And you know, Kamsa had requested Akrura to bring Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. And Akrura actually thought at that time, my enemy Kamsa is extremely merciful to me because he tells me to go and see Krishna. So he goes in his chariot, and as he enters Vrindavan and comes closer to where Krishna is, he meditates and thinks about Krishna. There's many, many things. And then finally he says, when I see Krishna's lotus footprints on the ground of Vrindavan, I will without hesitation jump down from my chariot and I will exclaim, "Ah, here are the footprints of my Lord Shri Krishna." No? And Akrura does this. He goes like this to Vrindavan Dham. And this is how we go also. Oh, we go to this forest where Krishna appeared. But my dear devotees, our Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj raised a point which I think is important. He said, now Vrindavan is so full, it is no longer that romantic place. And if you really want to enter Vrindavan, you will have to learn the simple art to go into your consciousness and find Krishna there. You have to learn to be Krishna conscious. And for that, the land of Vrindavan is a place where Krishna becomes manifested and you can hold Krishna's image. I would recommend you find a picture of Krishna in Vrindavan and make it your favorite picture. See it, close your eyes, see it in your mind's eye. Find some verses about Vrindavan, close your eyes. Remember, oh, Radha goes through the forest of Vrindavan. She touches the trees, they respond and blossom. And her footprints are just like Krishna's footprints on the ground of Vrindavan. And the birds, just like the cowherd boys, madly sing her glories. No, and in this way, you will make your heart a place for Krishna. My dear devotees, at the moment of death, everything what you have thought in your heart will come up and you will remember it. You will remember the emotionally strong impressions, especially you know, strong disappointment, strong love, strong words which you heard, and so on, strong places that got in your heart. You will remember a film, actually, of the whole material life which you have had, the material impressions from the life which come. And therefore, it is very important that you put into the memory bank of your life strong impressions of Krishna in his abode in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Then at the moment of death, your mind will be there and you will go there without any fail. You know what Christoph Columbus said? Yes, he said many things. If you want to find out, I learned this from Keshava Maharaj, what is beyond the horizon, you must be prepared to leave the shore. You know? Or I can say it like we say in North Germany, ships are safest in the harbor, but that is not for what they were built for. They're meant to leave the harbor and go over the ocean, no? So in Krishna consciousness, my dear devotees, you have to learn to become conscious of Krishna. That lies beyond the horizon of your material impressions. Inside the horizon on this side is what you have seen, what you have shopped, your favorite cloth, your favorite people, your favorite cars, your ambitions which you follow in your life at the moment. That will be very strong. That is all on this side of the horizon, but you want to go into the kingdom of God, and for that you will have to learn to leave the shore, what you usually do, and it's a very good. You have to think about Krishna and his abode in Vrindavan Dham by listening from the verses and by hearing and by going perhaps to Vrindavan and overcoming the initial discomfort. I recommend come out and see us in near Govardhan Hill. There we have two beautiful projects. One is Govardhan Retreat Center. Other is Sri Rup Seva Kunj. It's in Anjor, where we have planted all the flowers which were there at Krishna's time. There's also the Krishna Chuda flower. The Krishna Chuda flower looks much more beautiful than this flower. It's no magic, it comes from but it grows on a thorn bush, a thorn tree, and it has no fragrance. So once Krishna was coming by the Krishna Chuda flower tree, and the Krishna and that flower, it was not named Krishna Chuda, was thinking, oh no, I have no fragrance and my father is a thorn bush. I'm useless. I will commit suicide. And it jumped down from the highest like this before the lotus feet of Krishna, hoping that Krishna would trample on it and end its meaningless life. Now Radharani saw the suicide attempt of the flower, and she took the flower and put it on the crown of Krishna. Meaning, you may have given up hope, like that flower, thinking yourself to be useless, like the flower. You may think your family from where you came, a thorn bush, also useless. You may think, I have no fragrance, I'm so dry. When it comes to Vrindavan, all I want is to run out of the room, and so on. But don't worry, this is just the mind. Rise, but not on your own strengths, by Radharani's kripa. Radha will put you at Krishna's crown. Hare Krishna. Finished! This was your first lesson. I mixed together Krishna and his abode. I will give a separate lecture on Jamashtami about the concept of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and describe Krishna in more detail. Today, the focus was Vrindavan, and tomorrow, another of the 5 points will be focused, and we will meditate. For now, I would appreciate if you have questions which are not clear to you. Hare Krishna. Achyuta. I don't think they sang the song Achyuta Keshava. This is because it has Rama Narayana Janaki Valava. No, that's outside of Vrindavan. So here there is one question, yes.
You spoke about, you mentioned Keshava Maharaj, who did the Vrindavan Parikrama, going to nice spots and kind of capturing those impressions in one's mind. And speaking with a devotee who lives in Vrindavan, who knows also sadhus there, and their opinion is, we don't want to meditate on the external Vrindavan, we want to meditate on how it's given in the scriptures. And there I feel like, okay, that's, but how, what can I meditate myself, what's in the scriptures? In the same time, should I also meditate on the external Vrindavan, or if I see Radha Kund, how I see it with my eyes?
Yes, this is a very good question. Jai Gopal, Vrindavan on this earth, how it presents itself to the senses of the pilgrim, serves as an udipan, a stimulus. Now, when the stimulus is mixed with so many other things, loudspeaker music, exhaustion pipe, many, many people, it doesn't work so well on you. I do know from my personal thing, a loud sound is highly irritating for me in Vrindavan. It is difficult. I sometimes cheat myself. I do like this. I have this which blends over the sound, but sometimes the sound is just, I mean, if you ever have seen sound pollution, go to Vrindavan or go to India, you know, there, I don't know, there are extremes, you know, there's supposed to be very spiritual culture in India, but whew, they can be very materialistic, the culture also. So, indiscriminate music, you know, Bollywood music they play and so on. Sometimes also bhajan, but yeah, so therefore, when you go outside of Vrindavan, the udipan of Vrindavan works better because it's unmixed. No? So therefore, it is sometimes nice to find a place at the Yamuna, sit there and so on. But this is good if you're not so regular there. It's good to go with someone who knows and points out these places. In the Nectar of Devotion, there Rupa Goswami quotes a few verses where he describes what happens to someone who goes to the Vrindavan that is manifested to the eyes. You know, he says feelings of bhava for Krishna manifest. So it's not that this is a very powerful land. Prabhupada once said, the dust of Vrindavan can give you everything, but the dust of Hyderabad can give you nothing. So it is powerful. It has power, and some devotees therefore take dust with them, and every morning they put it on the head, and so on. No, it has power, but again, when it is so much overlaid with so many, it's like a beautiful fruit juice, which is full with arsenic poison. You know, that's a strong example. With what can we say? What you know, dust of Hyderabad. Yes. Oh, I see Keshava Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Keshava Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. So beautiful. You mentioned that you, I think, went to Vrindavan first in 1972, 73. So I was just thinking it means you've been visiting Vrindavan for over 5 decades. And I was just wondering, how have you evolved in the way you conduct your residence in Vrindavan and find your absorption over 5 decades? Like, has it evolved? Do you do the same things you did 5 decades ago? Or has it changed? Or is that a natural evolution of how you interact with Vrindavan? Or is it... I was just wondering if you could say something about that, because it's just fascinating for me, for someone who's been going for such a long time, how you've just grown in your depth of appreciation. And I was just wondering if you could share anything on that.
Yes, it started really with a strong sense of alienation. I felt just very disconnected from the place because it was culturally so absolutely different. When I was young, as you know, there were no handles on the doors. They all had these, you know, and I felt alienated. Then the waiter used the big toilet. How do I do this? You know, it was, and then not the food I was accustomed, not the digestive processes I was accustomed. The sense of alienation was very strong. This is, by the way, a problem which many of us contemporaries suffer from. We are estranged from ourselves. We've lost our connection to the feelings, to the realness, to the simplicity of our heart, because we are so much externally focused. So for me, I was a German, critical German mind, and when I came, I really felt very alienated. But what struck me is that I felt sad when I left Vrindavan. That was not logic. Why did I? I should be... I think you all know, half of us feels, Netflix! <You know? laughs> But the other half goes, oh my God, why do you need to leave Vrindavan, you know, and so on. So I felt at the first visit where I was very, very alienated, I felt very difficult. I felt sadness, and I could not understand what is the sadness. Until I found out that I'm not one person, I'm two person. I have not in the schizophrenic sense. I have found this in C.G. Jung's writing recently. There is one side in me which is conditioned and which likes the conditioned things, you know, my culture, my language, I never liked football, I'm saved, you know. But, you know, all these things, that is one point. But there is a second, which we all have, persona number two, who wants to be good, who wants to be near God, who wants to serve, who wants to be humble, who, you know, this is there. And I now understand that the second person was addressed by Vrindavan and the first person was shocked by Vrindavan. You know, I could understand that. Intuitively, now I understand it intellectually. So I know when the first person raises its voice, oh no, Satchidananda Swami, you're now so old, it is so dirty here, it's so loud here, it stinks so much here, and the people cheat you, when they, always they say a price, and you say, I was so many times in Vrindavan, it's only 20 rupees and not 20,000 rupees, you know. And so on. The person number one, but the person number two says, who cares? I'm here for something else. And I very consciously now stay in the person number two, the person who wants to come closer to Krishna. If my activities in Vrindavan have changed, I would say, not in the breath. I have not added many, many more activities, but I have gone much deeper in, for instance, hearing my japa, in singing kirtan. I have entered much deeper into reading about Krishna and thinking about Krishna. I also added one thing. I understood I cannot just go to Vrindavan and just take from Vrindavan. I must give something back. So we have opened a little charity where we take care of people who need things. I want to be want to serve the residents who are residing there. But in general, I have just gone deeper. And I think the secret in bhakti is when you go deeper in your chanting, you see something else in it. There's this beautiful katha that once Radha felt intolerably separated from Krishna, and Lalita suggested, why don't you write a letter to him, express your heart? So Radha took a leaf and wrote Krish. She wanted to write Na and so many other things, but she became she stopped with the syllable Krish. And after an hour, Lalita said, I think everything has been expressed in that letter already, because it would take a long time. So the letter was rolled and was hand-delivered by Rati Manjari to Krishna. Krishna was sitting there. The peacock feather had fallen from his crown because he was thinking so much of Radha in separation, and he had not even remembered to put the peacock feather back. So Madhu Mangal saw he's not in a condition to receive a letter, so he took the letter, unrolled the letter, and saw there was only Krish on the letter, nothing more. Imagine you receive a letter and there's Kish. What is the letter meaning? But in this pastime, Madhu Mangal decided this letter says everything, but it can be only understood by lovers. So he said, Krishna, Radha wrote you a letter. Here is the letter. And Krishna read the Krish, and he immediately could understand Radha was requesting him that she was felt the servant of Krishna. I'm your servant only. Please give me your mercy. Please see me. And you have enchanted my heart since the first moment where I saw your beautiful form. Even before, when I heard your beautiful sound of the flute, I have become enchanted by you. So Krishna could see all this in the letter, Krish. I think this points out to a point which we as sadhakas can also learn. For us at the moment, the Maha Mantra is one thing, but if we could enter deeper into it, everything and more is there. So my experience in Vrindavan is only everything and more is happening each... I don't know if it happens each visit, but my elevator is going deep into the ocean. So there... as I come deeper, I will see many more things of the ocean of bhakti inside. They will pass by the bar, by the eyes. It's like, these elevators they have near the oceans. They go on the ocean ground, and it's an elevator with glass, and you see the fishes, and you see what's on the ocean bottom, and so on. So in these processes of bhakti, chanting Krishna's holy names, hearing about Krishna from the scriptures of the saints, the Goswamis, and so on, going deeper means a deeper relish. Krishna. And praying, Keshava Maharaj, praying. Oh, I don't know anything. I'm dumb. I am foolish. I'm blind. Please give mercy. Like this. So, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Hare Krishna, this marks the end of this presentation. I thank you very much. And I wish you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Swiss summer camp. May Krishna fulfill all your desires, even the desires you don't even know about, that you have them. The desires of number two in your personality. Hare Krishna.